Well, once again, good morning. We're so glad you're here. If you're joining us online, welcome. We are honored by your presence. I just want to make a quick mention of the fact that if you are a cold-natured person, that you should bring a jacket. Because last week, Dave turned the air off on me halfway through the sermon, and there was a lot of sweat that you couldn't see, and some moments where I thought I was going to pass out. So we're going to need to keep that air on just for my overall health. So if you get cold, please bring a jacket. How cool was it to see Jordan up here worshiping with her daddy? Wasn't that awesome? That was great. I love that type of stuff. I think that's what church is about. I've been trying to get Winifred to come preach with me, Phil, but so far she's not there. We're going to pass. Nope. We're going to pass. So today we are continuing our series in Acts. We're looking at the movement of the Holy Spirit throughout Acts. And we're looking today at how a single act, okay, one single moment of being faithful, of following the Spirit, can have this type of domino effect that really can change the world around you. And sometimes I think that we don't necessarily see that or recognize that, and we kind of give ourselves the excuse of, oh, it's just one person, or it's just one small thing. How much of a difference can that really make? And today, I think that we're going to be able to talk about that. So we're going over one of my favorite stories in Scripture. This story is about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Okay, so we are in Acts chapter 8. We'll be in verses 26 through 40. We'll cover all of those as we kind of go throughout today. The first four verses that we are going to read are 26 through 29. If you want to follow along in a Bible or app or on the screen, it should be there. So what it says, now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. So he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Now, I'm going to kind of repeat what I just said, but in this story, we see that a single act of faithful servitude to the Lord can create change beyond what we can even comprehend. And as I kind of read through that, I'm noticing something I hadn't noticed all week. I'm going to talk about it real quick. So kind of where this story starts, if you think about it, is that there's this Ethiopian eunuch from the country of Ethiopia in Africa. At this time, there's two separate Ethiopias in the world. One of them kind of exists more in the Middle East. Think like Saudi Arabia region. The other, obviously, the Ethiopia that we know today in Africa. And that is the one that we are discussing. So this is not a natural place for the Jewish religion to exist. This Ethiopian is what we would refer to as a proselyte, right? He is adopting Judaism as his own religion. And so he's coming to Jerusalem to study, right? And just from that very thing, we look at how the Spirit can move in an individual's life. Somebody who's not really close to the region in which this religion knows its home whatsoever has come to know the Lord in a way, right? And it was kind of the foundation for what we are going to see become a great movement in the world. And so after we look at the Spirit kind of moving in that realm, we see how this angel calls Philip to rise and go towards the south, a road, he says, that connects Jerusalem to Gaza. Now that's it. That's all. That's it, right? Rise and go. That's not a lot to go on. Rise and go. And I don't know about you, but it would take a little more for me to move than to just hear the words rise and go. Now, I don't necessarily think that it should. Okay, I'm not excusing that. But I just know, like, somebody says, hey, rise and go. I want to know for what? Why? You know, if Jericho's like, hey, we need to go to the store. That's the only time in conversations I ask questions, right? Because I hate the store. I'm like, why do we need to go to the store? What do we need to get there? I'm mapping out the pathway, right, through the store. So, like, we can hit it as quickly as possible. I can try to ignore the discount aisle. We aren't just like looking around at things. We can get in, we get out and go, right? Like, why am I rising and going to this Walmart, as you call it, right? And so I am just a person that asks questions. And if somebody's trying to get me to rise and move and go for a purpose, I want to know what that purpose is. But there's no promise of grandeur here. There's no guarantee of success, not even necessarily a determined purpose, just an instruction. Rise and go. And so Philip goes, right? He goes. And I have to say something because I just noticed in my notes I have the wrong name. For some reason, in my brain, Philip and Thomas are the same person. I have preached about Philip and Thomas before. I preach about Thomas. I think I referred to him as Philip a million times. If I say Thomas at any point during this sermon, I am referring to Philip. Are we aware of this? Let's just put that in our minds because for whatever reason, I can't separate the two. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times out of 10 I would respond the same way, right? I already kind of admit, I think that number 0. If I just hear rise and go, I'm apprehensive. But for Philip, he just moves. He just moves. And that just with the, hey, you know what? Philip, I need you to go here. You're moving. How many times out of 10 do you think that you would do that without even a why? Without even a why? Here's what I've come to discover as I've studied this passage. When our relationship with Christ is where it should be, what we are striving for, okay? He's the why. He's the why. Philip didn't need any other reason than Jesus or God the Father is asking me to do this, right? He's telling me to rise and go. I have faith in him. I have trust in him. I'm completely sold out. I'm going to go, right? And we see, just an absolute moment of faith and the Spirit move in such a way that, again, the world has changed. There's no indication that Philip needed anything other than the Lord's instruction. And then, as Philip listens, Philip is aware. And I think that that's important. Maybe I should have bolded that and made that a point today. I didn't. But Philip is aware. He is staying attuned to the Spirit. He's looking for opportunities for the Spirit to move. So many of us may take step one, right? And then we almost wait for the reward. I did it, Lord. I did it. You said go. I went. Show me something cool. Like, reward me. What cool thing's going to happen? Bless me. I did it. I did the thing you asked, you know? Like, we do the thing, but we don't stay hungry for the movement of the Spirit in our lives. We think that the entirety of the mission is to just be active, right? The entirety of the calling is to just go. When there's so much more oftentimes that's wrapped up, we go for a purpose, right? We go for a reason. Even if we aren't aware of what that reason is, we are going because God needs us in that space. And so doing our best to be aware, to stay in tune with the Spirit, to be looking for opportunities to move is kind of a step that we are missing. But when we don't just arrive and think, I did it, this is the thing, right? We get to experience the fullness of God. The fullness of God. Because if Philip had just gotten up and walked on the road, right? And he would have been like, why am I out here walking? I've just been walking. It's been like 2 hours, you know? Like, I'm just strolling. I did the thing, right? What's happening? But he is staying aware, looking for the opportunities for why he was called where he was called. And so we know that he was called because there was a eunuch. It says that this Ethiopian eunuch, I don't know if this interests you, but this is not a physical eunuch, right? There's a eunuch is somebody that abstains from the thing, okay? There's physical eunuchs that were forced to abstain from the thing, and then there's just those that devote themselves to their purpose and task. And that's what we're dealing with here, right? So he is in Candace, the queen of Ethiopia's house. He's in charge of all her treasure. This is a big job, right? He's the treasury secretary, if you will. I made up some syllables in that word, but it's fine. And he'd come to Jerusalem to worship, and he's sitting on the side of the road, seated in his chariot, which, just so you know, means he's a man of power and money, right? You don't have a chariot back in this day unless you've got some coin. So he's sitting on his chariot, taking a break, resting, reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit calls Philip, go to this chariot, right? Go to this man. And so then as we continue in verse 30, it says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shear is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Now, there's something subtle that happens here. I'm going to talk about it after I take a drink of water. Oh, my goodness. Anybody else allergies killing them? Allow my ADHD to take a sidetrack from a... I found out as a child that I am allergic to Missouri. We did not leave Missouri because of that. I just happened to be allergic to everything. We did the allergy test, and my arm was just a giant red welt. And they even put some on my back, and I looked like Quasimodo. I was just like... And the doctor later came in and said, well, your son is allergic to everything. And I was like, cheers, you know? But right now, can't really breathe, so I'm trying to make that happen before I continue talking. Ooh, heart rate's high. Heart rate's high, oxygen's low. Woo, let's do it. So something subtle here that happens, right? Something that I think that can easily be missed but shouldn't be, is in the beginning of verse 30, it says that Philip ran to him. Right? Philip ran to him. This shows motivation. I don't run. Like I used to run. I enjoyed running. My back doesn't really allow me to run, but I just don't run, right? Unless something's chasing me. So bears, toddlers, small children that are faster than me, really only if I'm in danger do I run. So Philip, in this moment, runs over to the chariot. Okay, he runs. He was eager. He was excited. He was driven. You don't run to something that is unimportant to you. When I think about this passage, like I just think about all the times, even in society, we see people run, right? Like Baywatch, they're running to save lives. You see the person you love on a beach. Why that's a theme in multiple movies, I don't know. And you run to each other, right? Something you care about. The ones that really get me, like the Soldier Homecoming videos, right? Where like they're coming down off the plane, or they've now been given permission to like greet their family, and you just see people like sprint. Whoa, phew, right? Like you run for a reason. You run out of love. You run out of eagerness and expectation. Philip runs at the possibility of having this discussion with this man. And here's what I'm going to tell you, and I think it's important enough to make it a point. Following the Spirit is exciting. Following the Spirit is exciting. Now, I don't know if you personally have ever had a moment in your life where you've been so attuned to the Spirit that you feel a calling, you accept the calling, and then you're able to follow that calling through to where you see the fruition of the calling, right? You see the fruit that it bears. But when you're in that moment, there is no high like it. And I'm going to be really honest with you, maybe too honest. I've had some other highs in my life. I've been pretty open about my past, like all types of highs, okay? There's nothing like it. Absolutely nothing like following the Spirit and being attuned with the Spirit. When it moves in your life, there's nothing that gives you more adrenaline. There's nothing that gives you like a quicker boost of endorphins. There's nothing like seeing God work through you. And that's what Philip is exhibiting here. He is beyond thrilled. He is running at the opportunity to be in the service of the Lord. He's running at the opportunity to have this discussion with this person that he doesn't even meet. He recognizes, right, that this guy's reading Isaiah. Think like large scroll, right? It's not like Bible, it's like scroll, right? And at this time, probably, you know, pretty expensive to get your hands on. It's not like Gutenberg's not around yet. We're not mass producing these things. But he's reading the scroll of Isaiah here. And so Philip sees it, and he just asks him a simple question. Hey, do you understand what you're reading? Now, the eunuch, a man of position and power, could have taken offense at such an abrupt greeting. Like, he's probably not used to being greeted that way, being in the queen's household and being a man of means. He might have taken offense, but instead, you see that the Lord has prepared him for this moment, right? Because he's just eager to have that conversation. Also something I missed this week, but the Lord prepares the other side of the purpose, right? He prepares the other side of why he's calling you to go. There is somebody there that's waiting specifically for you in a moment, in a time, to touch their lives and to have a type of conversation. The Lord has prepared that for you. And he prepared it for Philip. And so this eunuch, instead of being offended, just says, I want to know. How? How could I know? All right? Like, if someone doesn't teach me, how could I know? Verses 34 through 40, it says, and the eunuch said to Philip, about whom I ask you, does the prophet say this, right? So we read the passage. Let me go back and read that. So this is directly from Isaiah. It says, like a sheep he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shear is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And so the eunuch asked a question back. Who's this about? Who are these words about? About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he, meaning the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, sounds right, and he passed through. As he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Right? So here's this moment. Philip's called to this purpose. He builds this really quick relationship with this man. They have some great conversation. He shares the gospel. The man sees the water and says, I want to be baptized. He's baptized, and the Spirit says, go away, Philip. Right? Like, Philip's gone. Philip came. He saw. He conquered. I'm using that word lightly, like he did what he was told. And this moment happens, and then Philip, because the Spirit says, go elsewhere, goes away. And the eunuch, like, doesn't even have time to say goodbye. Doesn't even like really see him disappear. He's just like, hey, where'd that dude go? Right? Like, he gone. But he continues on his way, knowing what has happened to him, rejoicing. Philip steps out in faith. He has a simple conversation about the meaning of Scripture. He shares the gospel. And as a result of his faithful following of Christ, we see three things happen in this passage. First, the eunuch accepts Christ as his Savior. How do we know that? Because baptism, as we call it here at Crosspoint Fellowship, is the next right step, right? It is the recognition of what Christ has done in your life, the recognition that you have turned your life over to him, and that now you are a new creation. So baptism is this public profession that he has followed Christ, okay? The second thing that we see happen here is that the eunuch continues his journey back home, rejoicing on his way. I want every single one of you, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, to think back on that moment. To think back on that moment when you turned your life over to him and the feeling that you felt at that time. The relief, the freedom, and the joy. The joy of knowing that your future is secured. The joy of knowing that Christ has done for you what he says he will do for you. And how that just exuded from you in those next couple weeks, months, years, if we're lucky, right? The world still kind of beats us down, and maybe we lose some of that. But if we can just put ourselves back in that moment, that's what this eunuch is experiencing. The guilt, the shame, and the weight of his sin now lifted. The eunuch is experiencing the joy of salvation. And that joy is contagious. It's actually when we as Christians most likely probably do our best work. Now, there are some ebbs and flows. I'm not saying we can't get back to that joy. I'm not saying that we can't get back to that moment where it feels brand new, because the Spirit can do wonderful things. But this joy is contagious, and it will undoubtedly be noticed by those around him. Okay? So the third thing that happens is that now there is a joy-filled, I never say that word right, joy-filled gospel spreader of great means, going back to the Queen of Ethiopia's household. Now, why is that significant? Remember, we're talking about how one single act of faith, one moment of saying, yes, Lord, I'll go where you send me, can change the outlook of our world, right? That can have such a major impact. Biblical tradition indicates, I should say theological tradition, maybe it's not necessarily in the Bible. Tradition indicates that this eunuch was the first gospel preacher in Ethiopia. In fact, he is mentioned as early as 180 AD by Irenaeus, an early church leader who speaks about his just evangelizing to his homeland. Then later, and it's years later, but later in AD 333, Christianity becomes the state religion of Ethiopia. They're the second nation in the world that says, this is our national religion. This is what we recognize as the right way to worship. We are now a Christian nation. A moment of faith, one single moment. A willing follower of Christ, eager to follow the Spirit wherever it would take him, to fulfill whatever purpose it would have him fulfill, who shared the gospel of Christ and saw that gospel message accepted, led to another faith-filled, gospel-spreading believer who continued on his way, sharing the gift of the gospel that he had received and clearly touching lives. Then those people who had experienced the gospel continue spreading the gospel around, continue sharing the message of Christ, so much so that it transforms an entire nation. It led to revival of an entire nation. Now, again, character flaw, but I sometimes struggle with, oh, that's just one small act. That's just one little thing. How can that make a difference, right? Whether it be I feel the Spirit nudging me to give the guy on the corner asking for some money, a couple of bucks, or whether I feel the Spirit saying, hey, pay for this guy's meal. Apparently, I'm dealing with food a lot, just whatever that may be. Hey, go talk to this person. Go pray with this person. Go ask this person how their day is. Try to build that connection. I get these little nudgings all the time. And the truth is, you do too. It just really comes down to, do you listen to those things or not, right? But I just struggle sometimes to think, is this really going to make a difference? Like, why? And the truth is, I may never really truly know. There's a good chance that Philip had no clue. He didn't know what was happening in Ethiopia. He didn't know about this person's continued evangelism. Maybe he did, but there's a pretty good chance he didn't know. He was certainly gone before it became the official religion of that nation. But one small moment, one small act, changed the outcome of an entire country. Think about that. Think about our nation. We live in a broken country. And I'm very patriotic, like USA, USA, America, grow a mullet if my wife would let me fly the flags, you know? Love our country. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, we're just terrible. I don't think that's true, okay? But I also am not going to necessarily sit here and only judge us in light of what is happening in other countries. Well, it's so much worse somewhere else. Yeah, that's great. That doesn't really necessarily make the difference here that it should, right? Like, I don't know, talk about marriage, right? Oh, my marriage isn't perfect, or I'm not perfect in my marriage, but it's so much better than that person's marriage, right? Like, great, good for you. That's not what the focus is. Like, you need to be focusing at home, right? And so when I say that, just understand, love our country, patriotic as can be, but we live in a broken world. And because we live in a broken world, we live in a broken country. And I think that our country, as well as any country around the world, needs Jesus, right? Like, I don't think that's a controversial statement. Maybe for those that aren't Christians it is, but I just think our world needs Jesus. I think that more Jesus everywhere is a good thing, right? And so we look at our country and we think sometimes as Christians, I think, man, it's just broken. And while that shouldn't surprise us because Scripture kind of tells us that that's the case, I also don't think that we should just be reserved to the fact that it's broken. I think that we should expect revival. I think that we should believe that God can move. I think that we should believe that change can take place, right? I believe that. And I just think that we can't pass up that one single moment because maybe we didn't see it as significant as maybe another way to serve. But if God's calling you, if the Spirit's calling you, rise and go. Rise and go. And let God be the difference. Let God make the change. Let God do the work. I've gotten to a place in my life where I'm comfortable not knowing the outcome. I don't have to know the outcome. What I do need to know is that God called and I went. Because that's what I can control. That's what I can do. I can't control the response of others. I can't control how they react. I can't control how they respond. But I can certainly control whether or not I'm fully committed. I can certainly control whether or not I'm sold out. Move. Act. Go. Listen. You may never know the difference that it will make. But a single act can change the world. Let's pray. God, I come to you right now and I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are a God that uses us, that sees us as worthy of participating in the spread of the gospel. And there's part of me that feels like you don't need a single one of us, that you are God and what could happen will happen. But also, God, I don't want any one of us to use that as an excuse, because you give us the honor that we don't deserve of participating in this process. And Lord, I pray that you would help each and every single person in this room be open and responsive when the Spirit is calling them in their life to go, to move, to act. Lord, it's not always easy and it's not always comfortable, and we struggle. We struggle. We're sinful creatures. It's part of our nature. But Lord, I believe that the principle that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that you work all things together for our good, I think that applies to our lives. And I think that we can apply that to this message. We can apply that to being faithful servants who are ready and willing whenever the call comes. I just want to be part of the change. I just want to be involved. I pray that you would give everyone here that same desire and that same hunger, and that you would give them the courage and the strength that it takes to step out in faith when it's their turn. We ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. And in that time of invitation, I'm going to invite you to come pray with me. I'm going to invite you to come talk to me about your salvation. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but you need one. Let's figure that out. Maybe you have a personal relationship with Jesus, but it hasn't been too personal lately. Maybe you haven't been where you need to be and you want to rededicate yourself to saying, I'm going to sell out. I'm going to be fully committed. I'm going to get back to where it is that I need to be. Come talk to me about that. Let's discuss it. If there's something in your life that you need to go to God with, something that you need Him to intercede in, let's pray together. Let's do that. Let's lift it up to Him. Otherwise, now is a time, I say this, I feel like almost every week, but this is a time of reflection. This is a time of worship. This is a time to give an offering of praise back to God. Let's stand together and let's worship.